May the words of my lips and the meditations of our heart be to your glory. Amen. Happy All Saints Day. Woohoo! Woohoo! It is a day that we celebrate the whole history of saints throughout the centuries and across the country, so a meager woohoo from our deacon is appropriate. This is a day, the liturgical magic of this day is that past, present, and future all become intermingled and celebrated as one. It's a day when we remember the saints of centuries ago and the saints we knew in our own lives. And we also hold out faith, hold out hope and imagination for the lives of those that we will baptize today. And we make this promise of the future that we will do everything in our power to raise them up in the faith. What an incredible future to imagine, a future that's filled with so much uncertainty, so many unknowns, that we can make this promise that even though we don't know what the future holds, we still believe and will raise up these children to believe. What an image of the future. The history of the saints, the communion of the saints that we remember today. We remember them by placing images and other mementos on the altar of remembrance in our side chapel, writing their name in the book. I invite you to, during the passing of the peace, if you have not had a chance, to write down a name of a loved one that you may have lost this year. And during the Eucharistic prayer, we'll read out those names and name each person by name, as a member of the communion of saints that shares in this holy feast with us at God's table. Some of my colleagues, not ones here at St. Cross, just to be clear, some colleagues ponder if we are doing All Saints backwards. They say, we are a people of resurrection. Shouldn't we move from death to life? Wouldn't it be nicer to remember the dead and then celebrate the new life of baptism? We're resurrection people. That's the order that we believe in. It's a nice thought, but it's a bit short-sighted. It doesn't see that the community of saints that we remember is actually where we draw our hope from, where we draw our strength from to act as people of faith, as people who bet on faith, as people who invest in hope. The communion of saints gives us strength and guidance to do that. The communion of saints, when we reflect on the communion of saints, we can see promises fulfilled that the saints themselves didn't see and their time in this world. We can see God's faithfulness to us when we reflect on their life and see how God has been faithful to them. This revelation comes across in our reading of the first scripture of 1 John. And it's what I want to spend a few minutes reflecting on with you. There's this line there that what we will be has not yet been revealed. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What hope. That is to say that it will be revealed who we are, who we truly are. It will be revealed that we're made in God's image, that we're beloved children of God. It will be revealed, but not yet. It's not something we understand in our lifetime. We may see glimmers. We may see partially. We may see, as the Apostle Paul writes, dimly. We may see through a glass dimly, as in a mirror dimly, the Apostle Paul writes. But we don't see it quite yet. We cannot see it in its entirety and full radiance. We can only know it by faith. What we do see is a hard-for-hope world that we live in, a mixed-up world where sorrow and celebration swirl around, intermingled, that looks more like chaos than creation. Our own little corner of the world here at St. Cross reflects that as well. We've had weddings and funerals and baptisms and concerts, and life just seems so full of happy occasions and also pain and sorrow and sickness and death. This is a world that does not know Jesus. The passage from 1 John reminds us the world did not know him, meaning that the world did not, could not, would not receive God's love, could not accept a message of love that puts meekness over might, peace over prosperity, and grace over greed. The world could not handle it, did not understand it, could not comprehend it, and at every chance the world rejects God's love. And Jesus himself says that the history of prophets is that they'll be persecuted for the love of God that they preach. And Jesus himself suffered that same persecution. Yes, this is the world we live in, a world that does not comprehend the love of Jesus, the meek, pure, peaceful, selfless, mournful, justice-thirsty love of Jesus. It just doesn't get it. And if they didn't understand it when Jesus was here walking, talking, living among us, embodying that perfect love, then there's definitely no hope that the world will get it in the ways that we can manifest it when we try to live it out in our own lives. We experienced this lack of comprehension ourselves this summer in a small way when neighbors and politicians in our local community couldn't fathom that we wouldn't sell our church and take a huge cash windfall of profits and move. They said, well, we know that you do good stuff with the money that you raise, so surely you want to raise more money and do more good. They didn't get it. We're doing something different here. We operate in God's economy, not the earthly economy. We care for souls, not for sales. Power doesn't come from control and might and correctness. It comes from empathy and compassion. This world that God's love is foreign to is a world that we baptize and raise our children in, a world in pain that has rejected the way of love for the way of greed. Recently, one of our parents here at St. Cross lamented that the world is not a very hopeful place right now. She's trying to navigate the logistical and emotional challenges of raising children while also being weighed down by all the sorrowful news that's happening throughout the world. That's why we baptize our children, baptize them into Christ's death and resurrection. Baptizing them into Christ's death, we name the reality of the world we live in. And baptizing them into Christ's resurrection, we profess the hope that who they are is yet to be revealed. We don't know what the future holds for these children we baptize today. We don't even know who they will be, what vocations will call them, what gifts of love and acts of mercy they will have to show the world. We don't know, but we act on faith. Faith that the Spirit will work through them and reveal the love of God through them, if not in their lifetime, then beyond. And that is where we get to the saints, those we love but see no longer. Because we see the revelation of who they truly are in the looking back and the reflection of their life. In this communion of saints, we begin to see the revelation of who we are becoming, who we might become. We can see, looking back, where in times of hardship, they acted on faith. They invested in hope. And in the looking back, we see that that paid off. It's a hard promise to make, but it's an easy bet, to bet on faith. The dividends are paid off not in their lifetime, but in ours when we look back and we see the faithfulness of God through the decades, through the generations. That's what we do here at St. Cross as a community with these services and the worship and the ministries and the guilds and Sunday school and pageants and retreats and parties. All that life that we share together here begins just a little bit by little bit, slowly over a lifetime, to reveal who we truly are, to reveal God's love in us and around us that is working in this world, even though the world rejects it. Let me give you an example just from yesterday. This passage from 1 John was read at the funeral for Mary Johnson, and Reverend Patty preached on it. So it's my responsibility as a good preacher and pastor of this congregation that if Reverend Patty already preached on this, that I just steal her text. Because what am I going to offer when we just have something there? She talked about the life of Mary Johnson. And as a perfect example, Reverend Patty spoke about how if you knew Mary and the bold, bright, cheery personality that she brought to all the ministries here at St. Cross, then you might not guess that her childhood was rife with medical trauma. And if you only knew Mary in the midst of her childhood trauma and medical conditions, then you might not have ever guessed that she would live such a long, happy life, cheerful, courageous, and full of community. Who we are is yet to be revealed. In attendance at the funeral yesterday, there were youth who had been part of Mary's Sunday school classes decades ago. Who could ever have known the impact of her ministry that would draw people back to church decades after to remember their beloved teacher and mentor? That's when the glory of God is being revealed, the love of God is being revealed, who we truly are as children of God in the world, shining God's love in the world. That's when the revelation happens, not in our own time, but later. And when we pay attention, and when we hear these stories, when we see the faithfulness of God to pay off when we bet on faith and invest in hope, when we look back and remember that and see that, we can see God's faithfulness, and we can draw strength from their example to face the days that we don't feel like getting out of bed, when it looks foggy, when the kids are tough on you, when you're tired and just feel depleted of hope. The communion of saints is saying, yes, there are days like that, but if you act on faith, the dividends will come up, and God will remain faithful to your acts of faith. The communion of saints gives us strength and guidance as we navigate this hard-for-hope world, because it reminds us that there's a true self within us that is yet to be revealed, and that slowly, over a lifetime through community, we might just understand who we truly are. I invite you to think about the saints that you have known, ways that they impacted you, cared for you, and provided for you, ways that they may have never known or even suspected that they were showing God's love to you. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, a coach, a relative, a choir director, your acolyte trainer, a friend, teacher, bus driver, crossing guard. I've heard all these stories. Think about that person in your life and what role they had. What was their worldly job versus the role that they had in your life? Recall the surprising ways that the Spirit has moved through their memory and revealed who they truly were to you today. Now I want to invite you to think about someone you know who has that same job. So if you chose someone who's a teacher, who do you know that's a teacher? If you chose someone who's a Sunday school teacher, who do you know that's a Sunday school teacher? Pray for that person. Pray for that person because they need it. They need you as a communion of saints supporting them, giving them strength and encouragement that they can bet on faith, that they can live out that act of faith in their time today, that they can invest in hope, knowing that their true selves will only be revealed when beyond their time in this world. And lastly, I ask that you pray for Emerson and Brady and Ellie and Libby, that on this day, which we seal them in the Spirit and mark them as Christ's own forever, and they join our holy family here and participate in that communion of saints, that they will have the inspiration and strength to act on faith, trusting that who they truly are is something yet to be revealed. Amen.